Hello everyone, Neil Patel here. Thank you for downloading the latest episode of the Indian Startup Show. So today I speak to Govind Upadhyay. He's the CEO of LED Safari. So LED Safari partners with local schools, NGOs and governments to bring solar-powered light to students in India and Africa. Students receive training to build solar-powered lamps so they can learn about the physics of circuits and solar tech while improving their studying conditions. It's a great idea. That's why he's on the show. So in this episode, he talks about his amazing journey from going from village to village, training students in India, to becoming Forbes 30 under 30, and much, much more. So please enjoy the show. Thank you. Hi, Govind. Thank you for coming on the India Startup Show today.
Yeah, thank you, Neil. Thank you for having me here.
Please tell the listeners what you're building.
So LED Safari does two kind of development. One is the training programs. We see, especially for the rural sector, we try to build standardized training programs for solar companies so that they can train their staff better. Mm-hmm. These consist of training manuals, e-learning programs, and also assessments. So that's one platform. And the second is we build sensors. What we believe that even if you train people, doesn't mean that they will be able to do a better job. Mm-hmm. So we are building this super low-cost plug-and-play sensors, which you can install in your solar panels, and it will detect problems happening, and directly it will tell how to fix it to the end user. So these are the two products we are doing right now.
Excellent. And how did you come up with the idea? What was the light bulb moment, as they say?
Yeah, so a couple of years back, we were traveling in India and Africa, really in the rural areas, trying to understand what exactly is the problem. Mm-hmm. And we realized that most of the people have solar panels, so that's not a problem. Mm-hmm. But then after a couple of years, they are broken and it cannot be fixed. Mm-hmm. So we realized that the skill and the training is one of the most important. So that's where the idea came, that can we build our training program in such a way that even a illiterate or low, badly educated guy can understand things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, excellent. And can you share some stats? I mean, how many people have gone through training?
So definitely, we have 30,000 people in the last 2 years have gone through the trainings. Many of thousands of them have become entrepreneurs, and we work with around 500 companies around the globe, which could be a very small company, like having 10, 20 people to at least 500 people using our content and our training modules on that.
And how does that make you feel?
I think still long way to go, to be frank. 30,000 doesn't look so great, right? I mean, we're talking about still almost half of the world's population not having basic skills or basic necessities, electricity, water, agriculture, and all. So still long way to go, but we feel that we are on the right track. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are on the right track, definitely.
Excellent. And when you say training, what do they actually build at the end of the training?
So at the end of the training, they go through a process of what is the basic fundamentals of solar, for example. What is the fundamental electricity? Really get their basics right. Mm-hmm. And then we go into the customized one. So if you are into solar lamps or solar phone charger, we help them to understand how these things work and what exactly the business model people are trying to follow. Mm-hmm. If you're on the rooftop, so what kind of business models are in rooftop? We try to teach them and how do you do customer relationship? And then we go into the grid level when you have, little bigger panels. So how do you install those things? What are the best practices we need to follow? Mm-hmm. And what advantage we have and what we are trying to see, it's all data driven. Mm. So on our platform, you have exactly what person is doing, what are the problems he's having, what chapters he's not very comfortable in. And then we alert those, gaps to the manager of the company or HR of the company, who is responsible for those guys. And then we feel that every individual has its own customized training, whether he wants to make a little lamps for his entrepreneurship or he's working for a big company installing solar panels on the rooftops in the urban areas. So that's how things goes. And one of the important thing what we realize that every company or every organization needs certain customization, which is, to be frank, it's really a difficult work because every time you're customizing the training, so it costs a lot of money. But we feel that in a couple of years, we'll reach a point where we don't need customization, and across the board, people will be using almost the same kind of training. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excellent. And what were the early days like? When did you start this?
So I was doing my PhD in Switzerland, and we were traveling in Africa and India, just just talking to people, and we kind of I built a DIY solar lamp, you know, very small basic solar lamp that anyone can build. It you need an, you don't need education. And I was just putting those bunch of components in my suitcase and going to the village to village and start teaching people. Just that's it, just open up the suitcase, start teaching them. Yes, some people thought like we are crazy, I'm mad, what I'm doing, what exactly the hidden interest here, why he's giving us, you know, those kind of things. But that really helped me to connect with the end user, you know, local people, that what exactly, how they need the training, what's their problems are. And that's where we started with. So we started with a very bottom up approach, like grassroots level. And now we are going to the companies, that is more like top down approach, companies, to asking them, okay, if you need those kind of people, what exactly skills you're looking for. So yeah, that's where we started. Actually.
Oh, and why specific solar then? What is it about solar that you're talking about?
I just feel that this technology can push people, because it's simple, it works, it's been proven technology. And to get started, people, with the basic electricity, this is the way to go. And then if you just see, where is the energy source? It's sun. So all the countries I'm operating in, that's the developing country or low-income countries, they have only thing is sun they have. So this is way to go. Means I strongly believe in this technology on that. And definitely, but this is not the end technology, I can say. It's a starting technology. And I'm hoping that the chaps and research and all come up with a much better one, because there are inherent problems with solar, how it is made, whether it's really sustainable or not, etc. But definitely it's a starting point, and this is what we have right now.
So you mentioned some of the guys go into entrepreneurship. What kind of examples can you give examples of what they've done or what they built?
Yeah, definitely. In I can tell you one guy, like one example. So this guy lives in Uganda. We trained him in 2014 on making a solar lamp. Then he got further training on installing those solar panels. And then when he went to the villages, now he's the guy fixing solar panels for the village people, you know, buying those solar panels from the market off the shelf. You know, he's not associated to any company, just buying from the market and just installing those things for people. And now people are demanding him that, hey, can you make it bigger and run my, I don't know, some kind of motor and stuff. So that is like excellent to see that how this little kid, he was just 16, he started with selling a solar lamp. You know, just solar lamp. And then he moved into putting now rooftops where people can watch TV and have a phone charging, etc. So that's one success story. Definitely, I'm very proud of it, because we have been tracking this the student. And there's one example. One is in Rwanda. We started a program in 2017 called One Child, One Lamp. So what we said, that every child who goes to the school, he has to make a lamp so that he can study at night, a solar lamp by himself. And that has picked up very well. So what has happened, that students were, it's free education, because anyway, people cannot afford it. But the parents pay a little bit of, I think, tuition fee or something. So with the help of NGO and the university, we were able to train the teachers. Teachers were training these students. Again, we start with a solar lamp, depending which class they are. And now some of those students have graduated with their solar lamp, which has become more sophisticated. With one LED, two has become multiple LEDs. And now these guys are again going, moving into solar companies to get hired by solar companies and installing solar panels at the last miles, you know. So that's another one.
Excellent. Lots of solar lamps there. How long does it, so can the training not be done online then?
So it's a combination of online and offline, I'll say. So why we wanted to go for online, because we want to be a global company. In a global company, even in India, let's say India is kind of, I see, as a world in one small region, which call India, with multiple languages, multiple social structures. Some people have money, some people do not have money. We had a problem that if we have a trainer, let's say a trainer, he or she has very specific way of training, which might not be liked by other people. You know, when it can work out in one region, not in other. So we felt that if we go online, then we can train trainers on the ground from one region very easily with our online. And online is also cheaper. It just decreased our cost like almost 80%. So, you know, it's so easy now. And then with this online approach, and then definitely we kind of empower our field, like partners in the ground, with some kind of hands-on trainings also. So that way this combination worked very well.
Excellent. Okay. And how fast are you actually growing? You mentioned 30,000.
It's been 2 years now, 30,000. So we are growing very fast. But what we are seeing that it's not about the growth also keep training people, mm-hmm. but also understand that are we able to generate enough jobs for them? Mm-hmm. So imagine if I train 100 people, am I able to get all 100 people a job? That's not right. Because if you see whole solar sector itself, you don't need so many people actually on that. So what we have started looking into that, imagine a village doesn't have electricity or it has a partial electricity, you know. Solar guys come on, start putting solar panels. So, okay, so the village people, they have basic electricity in their household. That's great. But can we create micro enterprises in these area, which is called productive usages? You know, when you put a microgrid with solar, then people can run some shops, you know, do some processing, creating those kind of thing. And what I'm seeing that as Let's Safari, we have to handle the demand side also. It's just not about trainings in solar. But in a village, like you can create so many jobs in different sectors. Can we have a standardized training on that? That every village we go, we know that at least we can create 5 kind of job. Of course, not related to directly solar, but what solar is providing. Like, can we create on agricultural thing? Mm-hmm. Can we create on health? Can we create opening a shop? All those kind of things. So we started seeing that overall community, how they can increase their, you know, financial issues, like how they can get more money so that they can pay back also the solar, because solar is definitely expensive, at least when we work at bottom of pyramid people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're near the end of 2018. How would you reflect on this year then? Any highlights or lowlights perhaps?
It's great learning, I'll say great learning, because we have been developing all those trainings. So we had to really focus on what. So we know we are on to train on solar. That's great. Mm. But what exactly those topics we need to cover mostly, which is common to across the board. So then we are talking to a lot of training institute. We are talking to companies. We are also talking to end user that, hey, you're the youth, you're a young person. What exactly you would like? What excites you? Mm. And we also want to show the youth a path. You know, it doesn't mean that he has to stuck to solar fixing those panels. Mm-hmm. What exactly his growth path so that he is excited about it? So I'll say more learning. Second is like great response from the industry. Great response. Like everyone has talked about that. Yes, this is what we need. This can help the sector overall. Now the interesting point will be we have to perfect our business model, to be frank, and get this thing rolling on a larger scale, really on a larger scale. So let's say that in this year, I have traveled to almost 20 countries, talking to different stakeholders to see that how it can help them. Yeah.
Quite a few air miles there.
Definitely.
Let's talk about you then. What's your background and where are you originally from?
Right. So I come from, my father's still in Indian Air Force. Mm-hmm. And we moved around a lot in India. So I was born in Ranchi, that's in Jharkhand. Then we moved to Jodhpur, Mumbai, Bangalore, Guwahati. So I moved a lot. So then I'm very comfortable with the cultural thing. Mm-hmm. So I was changing friends every 3 years, let's say that. So it was a bit bizarre for a young kid, but at the same time, you're so excited about meeting new people, mm-hmm. which is still there in me.
Nice.
First. Secondly, then I really wanted to be an engineer. Just it happened to be I was good at maths and those things. Like as an Indian kid, like you, I think generally you're good at that.
Yeah.
So I got into BITS Pilani. That's one university, technical university in India.
Yeah.
I did master's in physics, that was in quantum mechanics, and bachelor in electrical electronics. So I loved physics, so I really wanted to understand that how the world works.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like I was passionate about electricity. I won't say that why I was passionate, but it was just I loved electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Means I was making, while I was child also, I was fixing certain things with my dad, because dad is also technical, right? Mm-hmm. So it kind of helped maybe. After that, I got a scholarship to go to Stockholm to do another master's on sustainable energy technology from KTH University. It took kind of dual masters, Erasmus Mundus. So it's a European master where you go a lot. So my friends and we used to say, hey, it's a traveling master. So it was 1 year in Stockholm, couple of months in Eindhoven, that's in Netherlands. Then it was in Barcelona for my business studies. Then we went to Torino and all over the place just to understand the sustainability in the different contexts in Europe. And then I came for my PhD doctoral in Switzerland,
mm-hmm.
In Lausanne. That's a French-speaking part in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
After 3.5 years, I realized that enough of studies. I was already getting, I think, 20, 8, let's say, and I say that what the hell I'm doing with my life right now. I mean, so yeah, I want to move on. I'm done. I love creating things. And with my PhD, it was becoming too theoretical. So I dropped out of PhD and started working with Let's Safari full time. And it's been an excellent journey. I remember that 2016 starting, I started Let's Safari full time, and I got like a lot of awards from international community. Like I was in Forbes Search Under 30, MIT Refugee Award, because we were helping refugees that time. I was also selecting Asia 21, so that gave us a big push on the international front, and people realized, oh, this guy is talking something different. Let's listen to him. And more like I had really good early adopters what I was speaking about. So that's at least that's my background and story.
Yeah, Forbes 2016 30 under 30. I mean, that's quite incredible achievement.
I was lucky. I didn't know like how it happened. Yeah. I was lucky. I can tell you, like, I really believe in luck, and then luck has to play. But you need to work hard, definitely. Like, we slog, definitely. But luck plays a very important part in these things.
But yeah. What did your friends and family think of that then?
So my grandma was like, that was very interesting. With grandma, I think my parents, as a Indian parents, like, you want to be very academically oriented, right? You want to be a doctor. But unfortunately, I'm not Dr. Govinda Upadhyay. I'm just Govinda Upadhyay. So that's one thing hurt them, definitely. But they understand what I'm doing, all the international things. I get it. So it feels them proud. Like, yeah, okay, this guy is not, he's not stupid, you know, he's doing something. So that's one thing. But my grandma, when they were alive, they expired like a couple of years back. So they were telling, my grandma was saying that, I heard that you went to one of the best schools in India. Yes, grandma, that's right. Then you went to also scholarship. The European government wanted you. Yes, grandma. And you wanted to become a doctor, but you're not a doctor also. Yes, grandma. And then at the end, you're going to villages and teaching these guys some kind of lamp and stuff. Why would you do that? What happened? Do you want me to get some puja done over you? And that was really cute, you know. I really felt it that, oh, grandma, that's cool. Like, really, like, she really felt that way. And then eventually I made her understand and all this thing. But even his grandma, she said, do whatever makes you happy. That's it. And she saw me that I was so excited, so happy every time some workshop have been done, one video have, the guy has come up that, hey, I made my, I've done this certification now. Oh, thanks to Let's Fight, this happened. She saw me on telly and stuff. So yeah, she was happy. So now I think initially they were disturbed, but now they're very comfortable what I'm doing. Yeah.
So do you live in Switzerland now? Or do you live in India?
I live in Switzerland.
Yeah, okay.
I travel a lot, but my headquarters is in Switzerland because my other co-founders are Swiss. Three are Swiss and I'm Indian. And I travel a lot. So we have Indian Center also here in Delhi. And we run huge campaigns with the help of social organizations here. So yeah, I mean, let's say like globally, I'm quite traveling a lot.
So, and what brings you to India then?
It's my homeland. It's my country. Yeah, it means it's such an exciting moment being in India. It means everything is moving at a certain pace. If you see in Europe, it's stuck. You know, I mean, I'm talking about, it has its own moments, but it's stuck. But if you want to see real, let's say like you do like Delta effort, it become like a Delta square here, like really huge impact you can create. So that excites me in India about that. You do whatever, its impact is really huge. And yeah, that makes you satisfied. Yeah, I'm content about that. Yeah.
In terms of marketing, then, how are you getting the word out? You know, how are you promoting your business?
So initially, we really didn't promote ourselves because we were traveling in the core villages and remote areas. And from this year onwards, I'm traveling a lot in conferences, talking to people, talking to the government people in industry. So I'm doing a lot of one-to-one meeting to really understand the sector better. Yeah, that's the marketing we do. That's it. Or let's say social marketing, which, yeah, as a startup, you need to get hang of social marketing also, which I don't think so we have been able to achieve it. But we have quite a good fan following, let's say. Yeah,
that's good. In terms of next year, then, what would you say is the top priority?
Get the business rolling, get the business model perfected, and we might raise some money. So that will be another focus, that how we want to scale it. Right now, let's say we have around 500 companies. Can we go to 10,000 companies? Because it's just online, right? And it works. We know it works. So how do you reach to 10,000? How do you deliver the best services? Because what will be interesting is the after-sale service, which we have been lucky that we had early adopters, so they were very satisfied. that, yeah, you guys talk to us every day, that's nice. But when we scale up the business, we are dealing with real business, you know, it's just transactional. So how do you deal with after sales service? Mm-hmm. So that will be interesting challenges to cop up next year.
What specifically is the business model then?
So right now there are two. One is a subscription model. So we have our training content already on our platform. Mm-hmm. And you get your company guys on board, and then you pay per user. I won't say the price right now. It's very customized. But let's say it goes from 10 euro to 100 euro per person. It can go. Okay. So that's one model, which is monthly and or quarterly or yearly subscription. Second model is we work on a lot of customization of the training content. What we realize is that most of the companies, they want to really train their guys on their product. So we help companies to move online. So that's, let's say, more consultancy and development. That's bringing quite a good money for us right now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So when you're trying to sell this service then to, you know, 20 plus countries, do you get any like knockbacks, any negative feedback? Or is it all positive?
Oh, definitely. Network is not working. Online doesn't work. Mm. These guys are totally illiterate. They need only hands-on, and they can study only on stick. Kind of, yeah. So these are the backlash. Yeah. So I'm doing a lot of campaigns on teaching even my customers that, guys, this will help you. Mm. You know, so some guys really understand very well. Yeah, definitely, we need standardized one. But some guys are just think that, okay, this is useless purpose. Like, no one can learn online. So let's say that's where we are facing the problem.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay, so looking back on your startup career then, would you change anything?
I will try to learn faster.
Go to more countries.
Go to more countries. Like, I feel like sometime, like as a young person, like I'm 30 right now. Mm-hmm. And I felt that maybe I could have done the business better a little bit on the marketing side and things, because what initially I thought, oh, if I do a good product sells. Mm-hmm. That's it. So I do a good product. And later I realized, no, product doesn't sell. It just sells relationship, actually. Mm-hmm. And that now I'm realizing it. So right now I'm really working on building relationship with the companies and things. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. No worries. Okay. Nearly there now. Obviously. Yeah. So what advice would you give to anyone listening who wants to do their own like social responsible startup?
I think just listen to yourself first, mm-hmm. that you really want to be in this game or not. Mm-hmm. It's not easy one first. Second is really be closer to your customer. And don't bring products, bring solutions. Mm-hmm. And really iterate the solutions with your customer very closely. Be with them, go to the ground. Means I remember, I can just give you one anecdote that we were training in Kenya. And for me, it was clear, I don't want to train in Nairobi, for example. I don't want to train in Delhi. I really want to go to the villages, mm-hmm. and go to the end of the village where, yeah, no one is able to reach. We went there. Mm-hmm. And there was drank water, which has to be ourselves has to be boiled and filtered it ourselves. We were drinking, eating, whatever, and that's fun also, I think.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And is anyone you admire? Any people you admire? Any people you look up to?
I think there are a couple of people I look to, like definitely Dr. Kalam, our president, former president Kalam from India. Mm-hmm. I love his story, the way he ignites fires in the students like us. Like we grew up watching his speech. So that's one. Definitely Elon Musk. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with everything what he says, but at least I understand his broader concept. Mm-hmm. And I like it. I like that way. So these are the two people whom I really feel that, yeah, means on the higher level, we can get a lot of things from them. And there are multiple small people with different segments. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would like to add like my family. Okay. On that side. My father especially means what he has done it, how he encouraged, mm-hmm. people around him, not only his children, but others, his friends' children and all. It's very incredible that we all come from a very basic middle-class background, mm-hmm. you know, and pushing that limit up and then become entrepreneur, do-it-yourself things. Mm-hmm. You need a lot of guts to allow your child to do that, definitely. Mm-hmm. And which I think a lot of parents should understand, mm-hmm. at least in India, that now India is not that one which was two decades back, that you need to have a job and do it. But definitely encourage your kids to do something which he or she is passionate about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So speaking about entrepreneurship then, what's the main quality you think an entrepreneur should have?
Patience. Mm-hmm. definitely patience and persistence. These two P has to work out. So I remember that I wanted to accelerate faster and faster, but always got a backlash like, yeah, it will just take his own time. It will take, take his own course. So just have patience, persistent, things will work out. And be motivated, of course, because motivation is the fundamental one. If you're not motivated, then yeah, you're not doing a job, right? I mean, that 8-to-8 job, 8-to-5 job. You're working almost 24 hours, kind of. Yeah.
Excellent. And what's the best thing about what you do at the moment?
I meet a lot of people. I love it. I mean, training is all about like kind of very emotional. And you train people on something which can change their life. So definitely, I talk to a lot of people coming from different background, and that really gives me a lot of happiness to know about the world better, because I have limited time, limited scope, limited things. But because of my work, I have to meet my end user, and then I meet a lot of people. I mean, as I told you, I keep traveling in different countries, at different regions in India also, to understand them. So yeah.
What's the best country you've been to then?
Okay, India will be the biased one, of course. Yeah. That's the best. But I really liked Rwanda in Africa. Rwanda was really something, I loved it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what was it about Rwanda? Because they went through a civil war about 10 years ago, right? So
I think like, I won't go into the political discussion because that's a bit controversial, let's say, and I want to be not. But if you see the people, you see that the way they have been able to pull it off, all the problems they had with the child mortality, education, infrastructure development, they have done excellent job. And the people are amazing. People are amazing. I mean, cities. So like when I went to Kigali in 2014. Yeah, I ended and I was like, these guys were like checking my bag, and I said, yeah, of course you check bag in during the customs. And they were checking for the poly bag, polythens actually, not something else, polythens. And I was like, why you won't let me put my shoes were in the polythene bag. And they just took it out. And I'm like, why would you do that? Like, yeah. And then I realized that poly bags are banned in Rwanda. And I was like, wow. And then you went to Kigali. It's really super clean, considering that it's one of the really, one of the poor countries, let's say, on the planet right now. They're still. So, you know, these kind of social efforts I have seen, like even though people are not economically sound, but just these social things, caring about the environment and all, that quite impressed me a lot. Yeah.
Excellent. And do you have any...
Neil, sorry to interrupt you. Considering that they went through the civil war first, second, there is a civil war happening in Burundi right now. And how these guys are super welcoming to all the Burundis coming. So these kind of, you know, it inspires people that how to behave. And definitely it's an example for European countries or let's say Western countries.
Excellent. Do you have any like hobbies and interests?
Yes, like I love playing cricket, but which I don't get it much in Switzerland now. I like to explore food. So because I feel the food is one of the parts which can make you connected with people. And then otherwise I like running, cycle, biking, and etc.
What food do you like?
I love a lot of this. I love Japanese food.
Okay.
Quite well. Also, my wife is half Japanese, half Swiss, so that helped. I'm not sure whether it helped me to get hang of the food or get me hang of her.
Okay.
But I love Japanese food. Definitely Indian food. I love South Indian food. Means this one thing I totally miss out when I'm traveling outside India. And I know that whenever I land in Delhi, like my parents still in Delhi, I go for biryani or South Indian. I tell my mom, just cook something South Indian, like idli dosa and all that one. Yeah.
And where does the name come from?
Interesting. So basically, in 2013, when I was traveling with my suitcase with a bunch of components in Africa, so then people asked me, villager, hey, why you do all these things? I said, hey, look, I'm teaching you. The idea is that you can teach other people. So he said, oh, so you're teaching LEDs to other people so that they can teach other people. I said, yeah, exactly. That's the philosophy. So you're on a safari. So safari is journey in Swahili, actually, means. So you're on safari teaching LEDs. People, and that's where it struck, wow, you gave me a very beautiful name, LED Safari. It's a journey of light, kind of. So we stuck to it. I know it's a lot of people think that we are a travel company.
Okay.
But hey, I like my name. Come on. I like my logo, tree, and stuff. So yeah.
Excellent stuff. What would this business look like in 15 years' time then?
I think in 15 years means I will move into something else. Definitely, I don't see myself doing exactly these things. Mm-hmm. But in 15 years, till then, I would like to make a platform online digital, which has a standardized content for all the skills people need to get a job, get their business started. Whether it's a and definitely in essential tech. Essential techs for me is the lighting, like electricity, energy. Agri-tech buildings, that's infrastructure. Then you have health, water cleaning. And now in India, especially countries like ours, we need air cleaning right now. So I would like to build training or training in such a way that even a person hasn't gone to the best schools, he or she should be able to understand all those things and get things started. So that's where we see at least in 15 years. And hopefully... let's say that we look for a world where skill is not a problem.
What's your view on climate change then? Obviously you mentioned the air. Is it going to get better or worse?
We are hitting this tipping point. That one which is good on the creating awareness and all. The bad part is we are really hitting the tip point that we might not go back on that. Secondly, I feel that if we want to stop climate change, let's be frank, it has to be a mass movement. It should be like the independence movements happening in different countries, like happen in India, for example, that masses get involved in this to solve this problem. So instead of this COP24 where the government people are talking about, industries keep talking, I don't believe in that stuff really. It means I need that, let individual, we are almost 8 billion people. We need to do something. We need to move ahead with that. So till we don't have a program which kind of impact people and people has to involve, it will be difficult on that. And I'm working on that. We have educational training. And definitely we spend a lot of time on mobilizing people for thinking and telling them about climate change and how they can and what they can do actually, because telling them climate change is bad, that's great, but if you show them also that how they can put in practice without interfering in their lifestyle, it can help. So yeah, that's at least my opinion.
Excellent. And for those people listening, can you recommend any books or blogs?
I read a lot of things. I won't be able to recommend as such, but I just see that now because of the social. No, I'll tell you, like, I'm not a good book reader, so I don't read books. It's hard for me to read, but I do read a lot of online blogs. But because of social media, what has happened that now I'm getting very different kind of information on different blogs. So what I try to do that I try to confirm myself with different blogs. That's why I don't want to recommend one. Because even the one, if I recommend, they might have some different, might not be accurate information on that. So what I'll suggest that being on social media and all, it's better to just check the information on multiple sources. That's it.
Excellent. Okay. Last question then, for people who want more information on LED Safari, what must they do?
Yeah, so we have all the social media platform ready. So at LED Safari, you can do it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can see information. Definitely our website, that is ledsafari.com. You can have on that or just mail me. It's g.upadhyay@ledsafari.com and you'll get the information.
Govind, thank you for coming on the show today.
That's great, Neil. Thanks a lot for listening.
No worries. Thank you. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's the end of the show. If you liked it, please leave a rating and review of the show. Just search for the Indian Startup Show on iTunes, Stitcher and Spotify. If you're building something exciting, please send me an email, hello@neilpatel.co or tweet at IndianStartupSH or go to facebook.com/IndianStartupShow. Love to connect. Thank you and goodbye.